Welcome back to this week's episode of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We have no Ty here today, so it should be a good episode. Those typically go well because we have no one arguing from a really emotional standpoint. And
emotional
we're all mad
and
at him
crazy standpoint
for not communicating the fact that he wouldn't be here until we hit record, basically. So what we're talking about today is there was a poll done on where fans think players will go during the trade deadline. There's really not much more else to talk about, so we're going to keep this episode really short for you guys tonight. Eric, hit us with the first one.
Well, you guys wanted to start off with the Leafs trade, or do we not really care about that? Like,
welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin. It's kind of minor.
Getting a defensive defenseman in Dzingel, who they then waived and then got picked up by San Jose, and he's now playing on the second line. So San Jose now has Barbanov, who they've waived on the first line, and Dzingel.
This is something that I find so fascinating is like, oh, Leafs don't know how to keep their depth. And it's like, there's only so much depth you can keep on a roster. Yeah. Like, there's waiver rules for a reason. And they have more depth than most teams, which is why their 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th forwards get claimed off waivers.
And then end up somehow on second lines and first lines across the NHL.
When they're they have so many points. And it's like, well, yeah, a guy that was going to get not even fourth line minutes in Toronto is getting second line minutes. What do you want? Of course you're going to get more
Barbanov's
points.
Barbanov's on a 50-point pace. Dzingel, we'll see what he does. Anyways, I just thought that was funny because
I'm just happy Nick Ritchie's gone. This is one thing I saw a lot of people giving criticism to Dubas for having to get rid of a second and third round pick to get rid of Ritchie.
Third round pick.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
I think you said and, but
I meant or. But this is what I admire a lot about Dubas is he's probably the only GM in the league that recognizes his failures quickly and then addresses them and actually talks really politely about it. He didn't say Nick Ritchie was a failure. He just said it didn't work out and we had to do right by our players is basically a slogan. There's not many other GMs who recognize their mistake. A lot of them go all in on their mistakes and we talk about a lot.
They double down.
Even Dzingel said he appreciated the candidness because I think he came out in an interview saying basically, it was nice that he called him, told him, don't pack your shit. You're not, we're waving you.
You're not actually coming here.
You're not coming here. Just wait it out. And now he, instead of going from Arizona to Toronto to San Jose, he's going straight to San Jose, I'm guessing. I agree. He's good at him. And there's a few other GMs that are good at recognizing their mistakes. I think we've talked about this before. Rutherford was very good at, he made a lot of mistakes, but at least he cut bait really quickly on those mistakes. So, some respect there, at least. Again, like you said, not doubling down. There's a few other guys out there, but he was the big one that I always remember because he constantly signed a guy, too much money, too bad acquisition, and then toss them aside within a year, which I like. Which is
and most of them have been getting rid of Lou Lamoriello's mistakes from a contract perspective. I think this was his first one where it was him. You could argue that the core four are his mistakes too, and overpayments, which we've done and the media has done for a long time.
Unless Ty's here, then we can. But I mean, I don't have anything else to say about that other than I still think he waited a bit too long on Ritchie.
It seems the guys in the room.
Well, he did wave him.
Yeah.
At one point, right? So he was hey, maybe he'll get claimed.
Yeah.
But then he waved him 3 or 4 weeks before.
I wish he didn't even make the mistake in the first place, but at least he got rid of him. It's going to suck losing. It's going to suck losing a second round pick for it because I don't know about anyone else, but I never had hope of that signing from the start. It was the second that signing was made, even if it was a league min contract, I would have went, why? It was a completely useless acquisition.
And it just goes to show that, man, like all these boomers that want the Leafs to sign a big, tough, like left winger. We had that in Richie, and he put up no fights, nothing, stupid penalties all the time. Like, yep. He's the core core example of why that's useless.
Hey, Don Cherry wanted them to draft Nick Richie over Nylander. Remember that every time you look at Nick Richie, you look at that and go, that's what the Leafs would have had if they were just slightly more stupid. I think Nick Richie went right behind him. Right?
Yeah, he did. Anaheim got him. At least Anaheim got Nylander fifth or something. And I don't know. Yeah, there was a clip that always goes viral whenever Nick Richie does something stupid from Leafs fans who are like, no.
Because John Cherry is like, good draft the good Canadian boy, not the soft Swede, essentially.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, there was another actually thing that we could talk about briefly that Martin shared in the group chat today about the Montreal Canadiens. Not having like a scout team, a coaching team, or like anything. Was that a real interview or was that like just a fake?
I don't know. Could be fake.
I'm going to look it up.
No, I don't think it's fake.
But I thought Eric said something about this being true like a year ago.
Yeah, so Eric Engels, works for Sportsnet, interviewed Jeff Gordon, and Gordon basically... Gordon was like astounded. He was like, how do the Canadians not have a skills coach? How do they not have an analytics department or like an established development program? Like they just didn't have anything that you need in an organization. And especially because they're not the Coyotes, they're not the Senators. They don't have they're not limited by their funds to bring these people in. So it was just pure incompetence essentially just not establish these teams. So now Gordon's in there who ran the Rangers, and the Rangers, no, they have never had a good development program in my opinion, but they did a lot of other things right over his tenure. But it's like he's just walking in there going like, what the hell? Like, how are you so incompetent? And like, I think it was Luke that said in the group chat, like, their GM, Bergeron won GM of the league of the year a year ago.
Not even a year ago.
Just goes to show how crappy this award is. Like, just how absurdly crappy that award is and how it's given out. That, Jeff Gordon's literally shit talking the guy who left because he's literally like, that's how like NHL guys never do that. Like when can you think of the last time like a GM or, you know, anyone took Gordon isn't the GM. I think he's the president or whatever. But when's the last time a guy walked in and then was literally just looked at the organization and went like, they have nothing. And he's just astounded by the scarce Canadian coaching, how scarce the Canadian coaching and management were, essentially. Yeah. Like he's literally just saying, like, this is so bad. I need to, like, openly say this in an interview. It's not even a leak or anything like that.
Gordon is a different type of GM in comparison to the old boys club.
Is he like the GM or is he president now?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm forgetting. Yeah.
He's the president of Hockey Ops.
Yeah. So it's just like, and they're just so rich. They have so much money to spend and they just didn't do any of this stuff. And it was, and it's been obvious. Like we've talked about the lack of analytics. I didn't know they didn't have like any development program in place at all. And I didn't know that they didn't have a skills coach, but I think you can look at their prospects development and see how most of them have gotten, they get almost arguably worse in the Canadian system. Like Caulfield jumps into the NHL right away and kills it. And then the longer he spent in the Canadians, like development system, whatever it is, he's gotten worse over time. Yeah. And, like a lot of their prospects. Yeah. And so maybe Montreal has had a great drafting or a great scout system, and they drafted all these really great players and they had a lot of potential like 2, 3, 4 years ago. And we've looked and all of these guys basically that they drafted that had all this potential completely fizzled out. And it's probably because they didn't have a skills coach or a development program in place and all this other stuff. Right. So,
yeah, it does seem like poor leadership from the guy who won what is supposed to be like a great leadership award. But Anyways, I just thought that was something that we could talk about really briefly, because that's a pretty big thing to come out and say. This was a shit organization.
That's a
huge
thing to come out and say. Yeah. I think like these guys never do that. Like,
it seems big.
Yeah, and I think like that's an indictment. Like, I have a hard time believing Bergevin gets a GM position again. If this is how badly
he's a special advisor in LA.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Special advisor.
But I mean, like,
he won GM of the year, so they might just look at that and go, okay, he can be our GM. But
think about this, though.
The fact that he's an advisor.
Jeff Molson is probably like, oh, I liked Bergevin. He was pretty good. Now Gorton comes in and he's like, you are missing so much stuff. I'm sure his reference might change in terms of like the guy that he's worked with before. And maybe Jeff was just like really hands off, because it sounds like you would be really hands off if that's like the team that you let him build, which was not very in depth. So I don't really know, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be much encouragement there from Molson to be like, yeah, you should go hire this guy.
Yeah. All I know is you shouldn't be hiring. Like, I can't point to anything Bergevin has done well over his tenure. Like, at least with some GMs, they did like something well, you know, drafting, development, success on the ice, blah, 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 blah. But he like failed at everything. So I'm like, what is he advising on?
Yeah. Like, Martin,
he had a couple good years of drafting. That was it.
Especially considering how long the Canadians will suck. Like, Molson's review or like reference for Bergevin will just continually go down the more years they're shit, and they're gonna be crap trash for a while. Like, it's not looking good in Montreal. Let's say.
And they've already started tearing, like we talked about it last week already, so let's not get into to fully trade again. So I think the other big story that's like coming up is like the trade deadline, March 27th, I think Martin said. And there's 21st. Like people 21st. So there's people releasing like polls on where they think players will end up. So they looked at like, you know, some of the top defensemen, forwards, goalies, everything like that, and asked where people wanted them to go or if they were even going to get traded. And it seems like, you know, the top defensemen that are also on the TSN trade bait board, if one of you want to open that up, are guys like Chychrun, Klingberg, Ben Chiarot. I think Mark Giordano was on there as well, on the defensive Chychrun. Side. And then there's I think that's the Chychrun. first one I said.
Oh,
Nick Leddy. There's a few others. And then on the forward side, we had a lengthy conversation about this in our group chat, and I think we'll rebring it up on the podcast because I want to hear Martin's opinion. But guys like Thomas Hertl, Claude Giroux, JT Miller, Jake DeBrusk, Phil Kessel, Max Domi, Brandon Hagel, Andrew Kopp are some of the bigger forwards that are also on the TSN trade board. Am I missing anyone that you guys are seeing?
Claude Giroux, Thomas Hertl, Giordano, Justin Braun, Gorgiev. I think you mentioned all these.
Yeah. I didn't realize Gorgiev, but I guess he'd be under the goalies.
Toronto first rounder is ranked number 17, and Arizona cap space is ranked 25th in the top trade bait board.
The cap space is funny.
Yeah, that's pretty jokes. I'm looking at the
They
list
usually
now,
so. Do put the first round picks out there if they know that the team is considering trading it. From what I remember from previous years. But anyways.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
So the poll that was run, it's so like for Chychrun, for example, 35% of people said he wasn't going to get traded, which kind of makes sense. Like, why would Arizona trade a cost-controlled 24-year-old defenseman? Like, he's even if they go through a rebuild, he's still in their timeline.
I agree.
Right, but I then agree. The but people the top four trade target or top five trade targets, that are that people thought he might go to was LA. Makes sense. Young rebuilding team that could use Chychrun. Florida, mm-hmm. Boston, the Rangers, and Oilers. Essentially. If I'm looking at those five teams, Oilers, Rangers make most sense to me. And Boston.
So make three of the five sense. Teams?
Yeah. I don't see LA. I don't understand LA. Because Why? They have so many defensemen coming up in their system already. True. They're not like, again, he's a younger guy, so I can see the why they would want it. But I also don't think Florida is a real option for him. Like, I don't see them needing him right now, like the way the team's buzzing.
No, I agree.
And then Boston, obviously Boston's been missing a top four defenseman for a while now. The Rangers, awful defense corps. Behind Adam Fox, basically. After that, there's not much there. And there's a bunch of like younger rookie guys that, you know, have potential but aren't quite there yet. And then the Oilers, for obvious reasons, right? I think we've talked about this a million times. No need to get into the Oilers mess. But
and I think
he'd slot into the top pair there, or at least second pair quite easily.
And I think Edmonton is like the team that should try to get him the most.
Yeah. And the Oilers have their first round pick. They have, I was about to say they do have some prospects, but they really don't. they don't have much, I should say. But they can offer their first round pick. They can offer their, they can't offer their second round pick because it's a conditional pick that they need for the Keith, from the Keith trade. So they can use their second round pick from, or first round pick from next year. Prospect wise, I don't know, Dylan Holloway, maybe Tyler Twilio. That's kind of it. I think those are the only types of prospects people really look at when it comes to Chychrun. But yeah, he slides in there, right? Like, he's better than Barry, CeCe, Bouchard, Broberg, better than Darnell Nurse, arguably. And way better paid because Darnell Nurse is about to go on a $9.2 million contract per year for the next 6 years or 7 years or something like that. So
I think he makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah. Any other teams you guys can think of or anything I didn't really address there?
No. I don't want to take 10 years on this list of might happen.
Okay, so we'll go. Well, we're only going to talk about the main ones. I don't really care about speculating as to where Ben Sherrod is going to go.
Even though he's second on trade bait?
Yeah, even though he's second on trade bait, like, he's such an, like, he's going to suck no matter where he goes. So
I bet he goes.
And we did
to
say this was going to be a quicker podcast, you know, 20, 30 minutes. John Klingberg, if he does get traded by Dallas, again, Dallas is 6 points out of a playoff spot right now, though they do have two games in hand. And I know we wanted to talk about the playoff race a bit. The East is basically set, so we know who's going to the playoffs in the East, right? It's the Panthers, Lightning, Leafs, Bruins, Hurricanes, Penguins, Rangers, Caps.
Unless, like, there's basically a miracle run by one of the teams.
Unless there's, like, an insane run, but, like, you just look at the standings and there's, like, such a gigantic gap.
I don't foresee any team shitting the bed either in a playoff spot, so maybe
nobody's like on a ridiculous hot run. Like, even the Rangers, who are on a ridiculous hot run from their goalie, still have so much breathing room.
Yeah, but if they lose the goalie, Shesterkin,
even if they lose the goalie, there's a 16 point gap between them and the Blue Jackets.
That's true. You know, like,
so they'd have to be really, really bad, and they still have Georgiev behind them and stuff like that. So
true.
Anyways, but yeah, so those teams are set. So Klingberg, the top three are Carolina, Florida, and Boston. Again, I don't necessarily really see the fit on any of those teams. Like, I can see Klingberg going to Carolina, like, he'd fit in there, but I don't really, like, Boston's the only one I really see as a good fit.
Yeah, I was going to say Boston.
Yeah.
But do they have room?
Boston, that's a good question. They can make room because they have bad like, they don't have cap space right now, and they don't have anyone on IR or LTIR or anything like that. but they can move some guys. Like Jake DeBrusk, he's making $3.6 million, right? So if they move, they have $1 million in cap space right now. If they moved Jake DeBrusk, even gave him, like, used him in the deal for Klingberg, right? As an example, yep. That's enough. Klingberg's cap hit is only $4.5 million. So they can make room for him, is what I'm saying. Like, they have the contracts to move.
Boston out of teams in the East, like, needs the most help, and Klingberg's one of those guys that's a game changer. Like, he's a
Because right now their top four is Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo, Mike Riley, Matt Grzelcyk, maybe. Like, Klingberg fits in really well there as an offensive defenseman. Like, Mike Riley's solid offensively, but Klingberg is a whole nother level, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And unfortunately, they also signed Derek Forbert to a ridiculous $3 million deal for the next 3 years, which is looking really stupid with their current cap situation. But
I think Dallas should trade Klingberg, and I think it should be Boston. Or like,
if Dallas does trade Klingberg, I think that also means they have to just go full rebuild, right? And we'll have another episode discussing, like, in detail when we have better updates on the trade bait board and everything like that. But, like, again, Pavelski, Radulov, and Klingberg, all on expiring deals. So if one of them goes, I feel like you have to trade all of them at that point, you know? Yep. And Pavelski can get a haul. Ben Chiarot, not going to talk about him. Hampus Lindholm, I also don't see Hampus Lindholm getting traded. I don't know why he's on this list here. Like, Anaheim, they're not, like, they're not a competitive team, but they're in the race, so to speak, for the last playoff spot, essentially. Like, they're tied at 59 points with the Oilers and Kings. They have three more games played, but still, they're in it. And Lindholm, again, is a UFA at the end of the year, and he isn't signed right now, so he'd be a good rental. But and him he, along with but Raquel.
But he'd be good for Anaheim in their potential window, wouldn't he?
Anaheim doesn't have a potential window right now. They're out of a window. Like,
but based on where the Pacific stands, like, I don't know.
No, I don't think so, because he's a free agent after this year. He's 28, so he's on the downslide right now. Been on the downslide. I think the Ducks would be smart to trade him, because even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to do anything there. But I think I suspect the Ducks won't end up selling, because if they do sell Lindholm, they also have to trade Raquel, like, because Raquel's the same age. And $3.7 million contract, they can get a haul for Raquel, too. You know, like, Raquel.
But they could get a haul for Lindholm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you trade one of them, you trade both of them. But I just don't see them trading either of those guys, because I feel like they think they can make the playoffs. I suspect. And again, we've talked about how playoff revenue is more important right now. I don't want to speculate on where Lindholm would go, because we're just going to name a bunch of teams that could all use a defenseman, and that's like every team in the NHL. Like, and it seems like right now there's a lot of defensemen available, like Giordano, Lindholm, Klingberg, Chychrun. Like, I feel like defenseman values can get lowered a bit if all of these guys are on the market. But if only like one or two of these guys end up on the market, then these can be bigger deals.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is you could easily sign Lindholm this offseason. Like, I don't see why you couldn't, and then trade him later.
That's true.
I think they should trade him.
I agree. I think that if I'm in him, I trade Raquel and Lindholm. But the next guy on this list is Giordano. Guess where everyone thinks he should go?
The Flames.
Yeah. That's like 50 or 40% of the vote.
It makes a lot of sense,
but it also, like, Seattle put him as captain, didn't they?
Yeah, like, but they've had a talk with him, apparently, or they're going to have a talk with him. Like, I would want to move if I was him. What, he's 38 or whatever?
Yeah, he's
38. Seattle's done. Like, they're They're nowhere close to a playoff. They're last, I think.
Yeah, so, no, like, they're done. They're
if
not
you can trade them and send him home to Calgary, who's in first in that division, like, that'd be sick for him.
Yeah, except Calgary right now, after the Toffoli acquisition, has no cap space.
That's true.
And I don't even see how they, unless they get rid of Zadorov and Gudbranson somehow, I don't see how they make room for him. Luckily, both those guys are on UFA deals, but still, they don't have any room for them. Like right now, their deadline cap space is $870,000, unless they make some moves or someone goes injured or something like that.
Where else do the people say he should go? Because he should move. He should definitely move.
Yeah, well, the other teams were, again, everyone keeps voting Florida, Boston, and the Rangers, basically. Maybe using these polls is flawed because every defenseman is just going to get linked to the three teams that possibly need one, I guess. But I think if you're getting Giordano, you're getting a top four guy, and he's really good defensively, so I still think, like, the Rangers, if the Rangers really want to go in on this year, I think they need a defenseman more than Florida or Boston does. Leafs are also on there. I think he'd be cool on the Leafs, but I don't think they need him.
I don't think they could fit him.
Yeah, well, definitely not. Actually, no, they can if Muzzin stays on LTIR till the end of the year. Yeah. Not till the end of the year, till the playoffs time. Going to forwards now, Thomas Hertl. Top two teams are Boston and the Rangers again.
I want to say this. Thomas Hertl has the exact same cap hit as Jake Muzzin.
Yep.
Exact same.
Leafs aren't on this top five. The other three are the Wild, Avalanche, and Carolina. I actually like the Avalanche for one of the top forwards. And it's not just Thomas Hertl, like Giroux, JT Miller, Pavelski, apparently Brock Besser's potential candidate to be moved to. I like Minnesota for all of them because we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but they have a lot of dead cap space coming up. So this is their year to go all in. If they don't go all in this year, then, you know, they have $17 to $20 million tied up in their cap for the next three seasons after this one.
So. Yeah, they need to go for it this year.
They do.
And they should probably add definitely something.
And they can add. Like, they have $11 million, $12 million of cap space.
Yeah.
They could legitimately add Thomas Hertl and Joe Pavelski and be, like, the best team in the league, you know? And give up. They'd have to give up a shit ton, but still.
They would. They would.
They need a center, I think, which is why Hertl or Pavelski are the ones that I'm talking most about. I don't think they need wingers, really, when I look at their team. I mean, like, Kaprizov, Zuccarello, Fiala, Marcus Foligno, Jordan Greenway, Ryan Hartman, all these guys are wingers. You know, when I look at their centers, like, Joel Eriksson Ek, and then after that, Nick Bjugstad, or they don't really have a strong center group, so... If they can grab Pavelski or Thomas Hertl, or even Giroux, though Giroux isn't really a center anymore, that would be huge for their
Hertl
team.
Hertl makes a lot of sense. But I've heard Hertl stuff makes like too he's much not getting traded. Like, I don't know. I don't know about what's happening with Hertl.
Hertl makes a lot of sense.
I think he should want it out. Like, it makes sense for him to want out.
But does it make sense for San Jose?
Captain, right? Couture is the captain?
Couture is the captain.
Couture is the captain, yeah. Yeah, Thomas Hertl is an assistant captain, though, along with, like, Brent Burns. Yeah, it doesn't really
assistants
mean assistants
don't mean very much.
Yeah. No. But
it's like being an assistant coach. What do you really do? You just sit there. Look pretty.
So my question is, does it make sense for San Jose to trade him? Again, he's 28 again, which means this year is his last peak year, basically. It's probably all downhill from here. Most likely.
Yeah, they should trade him 110%.
So why wouldn't it make sense to trade him if it's his last peak year?
Why'd you ask that and then just
be because then they're
straight reason why.
Well, because they're already locked in. So the reason why I asked is because they're already locked in
They've known they're fucked for a while.
So do they just give up now? Like,
well, they're a 500 team, like over halfway through the season. Like, they're not doing anything this year, and next year everybody's just getting a year older, and Hurdle's probably getting paid more money. So, like, I think they need to. You need to cash in when you have the ability to cash in my opinion.
I agree.
This is like the prime opportunity to cash in on a huge cash cow. Like, this is,
to be honest, they probably should have traded
this market.
To be honest, I probably should have traded them earlier, because right now they might get like a first round pick and a decent prospect, but they could have gotten a lot more for him like last year. Again, like I said, like, they're locked into Brent Burns, Vlasic, Couture, Eric Karlsson, Brent Burns.
But they're screwed. They're just screwed.
Yeah. So it's like, do you continue to lock yourself in with Hurdle, because you know he's still going to be sick for another two to three years?
That's getting back to what we talked about at the beginning. That's doubling down. We need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're saying
trade. You made mistakes in other places, so you need to trade them.
Yeah. Well, because like if I were San Jose, and you didn't have all these other crappy contracts in, I'd lock him down, because I think he's good enough to be 100%. Locked down. So I think the team that trades for him is going to want to lock him down as well, which is also why, you know, Minnesota might be more hesitant, because they most likely can't lock him down unless they move like Matt Dumba or something, which is also a thing that's being reported right now that Minnesota might do.
Trading Dumba?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. The next guy after Thomas Hurdle is
They said it, and then they were like, but not till the summer. Like, that's a summer thing.
Yeah, well, they don't need the cash to sign Hurdle now. They need it for the summer, right? So if they acquired him at the deadline, they don't necessarily need to sign him right now. But yeah, I get it. Giroux, guess who the top team is that he's reported to be going to?
Colorado.
Yeah. like 70% of people said Colorado, and then there's another couple percent that said Minnesota, Florida, St. Louis. Avalanche makes a ton of sense, and there's been conflicting reports with like Adrian Dater saying Giroux only wants to go to the Abs, and then Michael Russo or someone saying no, he doesn't.
Well, there was also that report like last week saying Giroux wanted to wait and see where the Flyers are at, and it's like, you're like 15 games below 500, man.
Where the hell are you going?
What are you talking about? You should want out of.
You're fighting to not be last behind the Devils, is what you're doing.
You have a chance. If you have a chance to go to Colorado, who's like unbelievable,
and he can, and if you want to go back to the Flyers, then just go back after, you know.
Yeah, like try to win your cup. Like, you have a genuine opportunity to win a cup on Colorado.
Well, because, and I think Giroux is also one of those guys that had a chance of getting into the Hall of Fame at one point, like earlier on in his career, but he kind of stalled out, and because the Flyers never really went anywhere, I think he lost like that chance. So if he's thinking legacy wise, I feel like you have to go to the Avs, you know.
Yeah. And it's literally only 3 months at this point. Like, you can leave your family.
Well,
if
you go deep into the playoffs, it's like. Yeah. Like,
again,
he's also rich enough that you could rent a condo out, like, beautiful ass condo in Denver.
I'm also not sure how the Avs fit him in.
Like, cap wise?
Yeah. Like, they don't have a lot of cap space. so I don't know how they fit him in, if they need to trade someone. To like fit him in or something like that, but or get like double, triple retention, you know, like give him to Montreal, then who goes to Arizona, who then ends up on Colorado type thing, you know. That's the only way I can see, unless they trade a good forward, and they don't really want to lose a good forward to get a good forward, you know. So, I mean, I like the Avs for Giroux personally. The other one, JT Miller. I know Ty really wants JT Miller for the Leafs specifically.
And then stuff came out, like, literally saying he was traded or something, and then I was like backtracked. Or...
That was false. I don't know why he sent that, because I immediately went and looked, and I didn't see anyone reporting it, so I was confused.
No. There was actually stuff like Friedman reported that it was like talks were like happening between the Leafs and Vancouver.
Well, regardless, JT Miller, the most likely destination, according to most people, is the Rangers, which makes sense. He used to play there and everything like that, and which also he'd doesn't make
wasted,
sense.
He'd be wasted on the Rangers, because the Rangers, in my mind, are like the bottom of the East for threat to do anything this playoffs.
I agree, and the Rangers don't need forwards. Playoffs. They've been fine with scoring. They're leaky defense. And
he's a point per game player that hits and shit. Like, he's going to cost an arm and a leg to get. Like, the Rangers should not be giving up that.
And he has another year left on his deal, too.
Yeah.
So he's not a rental.
That sort of money to get a guy like that. Like, they don't need that.
Yeah.
That wouldn't push them over the edge. It would push a team like the Leafs over the edge. Like I said,
I agree. Like, JT Miller makes a lot of sense for
the
Leafs, but I just don't see how they get out of giving way too much. Yeah, fitting him, unless Muzzin's completely out till playoffs. And if the Leafs want to give up, like, a really good prospect, which they might not want to do, because, again, they have cap issues down the line.
Well,
right?
Especially...
Bro, they need give the up ELCs. A cap space. Sorry, let me... Sorry. Give up a prospect. Give up Nick Robertson, bro. The more time goes on, the more time I'm like, we're never going to see Nick Robertson in a Leafs uniform and wow us. Like, it's just never going to happen. I'm like totally fine with trading that.
Giving up on Nick Robertson, eh?
Yeah.
All of 20 years old.
Justin Hall.
All of 20 years old.
Leafs are pretty close to all in at this point. Like, they need to be.
Isn't JT Miller signed throughout the more years or no?
No, it's this year and next year. The issue is, if they did acquire him, they can't fit him in the cap next year. Like, there's no way.
Sure there is. You get rid of Muzzin, you get rid of Hall.
Okay, so just get rid of your two top four defensemen. And,
but you still have Sandin and Liljegren.
And you pray that those two are going to be your second pair. that's a move.
You still have Liberchkin or whatever they got.
There's no R in the name.
Liberchkin?
There's no R.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it in a while. I'm just saying.
He's not a top four defenseman.
I think Muzzin's gone next year.
You're saying Muzzin's gone as if, like, if he's been this bad this year.
If they suck this year.
$5.6 million. Like, there's not many teams that are going to be like, ooh, I want
that. He's won a cup. He's tradable. Once you win a cup, you're tradable forever. The rest of your career.
Especially if they win a cup this year.
Yeah.
Like, if you make the JT Miller trade, you become a very big cup contender. Like, favorite.
True.
Like, you have to, and then you can trade in the offseason, because if you don't get past the first round this year, one of the core four is going.
Oh,
and then you have cap room.
There's mayhem if they don't get past the first
round. There's actually mayhem. I think Tavares is the first.
And
at this point, Tavares is the first one gone. But
they aren't going to make it past the first round. That's
I know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Just go for JT Miller.
Even
you
if it's not a choking job, even if it's not a Columbus/Montreal choking job,
it won't be.
They're just
going to
get outplayed because it's going to be Tampa or Florida.
Or it's going to go game seven, and it's going to be seven overtime games in a row, and it's just going to end with Vasilevskiy.
Ty's going to end up killing
Vasilevskiy is going to throw two shutouts in a row in games, in elimination games, and then it's going to be c'est la vie.
Ty's going to have a heart attack or kill himself. Yeah. There's no other scenario that I see
happening. Most likely
a
heart attack.
Do you guys actually believe Ty when he says if the Leafs won a cup, he wouldn't care for 10 years?
No, I don't. He'd care the next season.
I think so too.
He'd be like, why?
Like, if
they
sucked the next year, he would definitely care. But if they made the playoffs and like lost, he would be like, oh, okay, they won the cup.
Think,
like, fuck it.
But I think that's why the Leafs have to go in with someone for JT Miller, because it really doesn't matter. If you lose the first round, you're getting rid of someone anyways, and you'll have the cap space. If you don't, or if you win the Stanley Cup, it's worth it.
And they can always trade JT Miller after too. Like,
they can always trade JT Miller. They can, like, they have tradable, even though the contracts are massive, they have a lot of guys that are tradable. especially if they win the cup, as Martin said. And I think Jake Muzzin is a guy that is well respected around the league. He'll get assets no matter what. It may not be what you want, but
okay. So if you were going to trade JT Miller, and let's say I told you first round pick plus Nick Robertson and I guess Amirov had that little
brain
cancer
tumor, thing. Yeah.
So maybe, let's ignore him. Let's not trade him.
I'm going to say you can't trade him.
I'm going to say you can't trade him either. But like, I don't know. And Sandin or Liljegren.
No, I'm not throwing Sandin.
I don't think you can do that.
I might throw in Liljegren, but I'm not throwing in Sandin. That's for sure.
What about, I don't know, like one of their other prospects, like a bunch of their other prospects.
I'm not throwing in Matthew Knies or Knies or whatever at this point. SDA maybe.
I mean, SDA, you throw that in easy. Like, that's not.
Yeah, that's not even a debate.
It's not a deal. Topi Niemelä, though.
He's a defensive prospect, right?
Yeah.
Don't they have a?
I don't think I would. No.
Like, do they have a good goalie? The reports that I'm hearing is no, the Leafs don't have. I guess they have Ian Scott, Joseph Woll, but those guys aren't really good prospects anymore. Like they were at one point. Mm-hmm. But so what I'm seeing from Canucks Twitter, and again, that's not necessarily an indictment on what management thinks, but they're basically saying that if the Leafs were to go for JT Miller, they need to get Niemelä would have to be a part of the trade. And that's because he's a right-handed defenseman and he's sick. Like he's been extraordinarily good so far. And he was a third round pick. Like I think he's actually a legit top pairing defenseman in potential, obviously. So like, do you include him, Nick Robertson, in a first for JT Miller? I don't know if I do. If it's just a first Nick Robertson, I probably do that. You know?
Why don't we want to trade this Niemelä guy?
Because if you're getting rid of Jake Muzzin potentially, Niemelä is the guy that's gonna take his place. Niemelä could be the least best defenseman in 3 years.
You think he's that? Wow.
I'm very high on him. And if you look at his stats in the Finnish league, he's been in a Liga. He's been sick.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd get rid of him. I would get rid of Liljegren, Robertson, the first, SDA, and probably a couple other draft picks. The only untouchables would probably be Nelima and Knies.
They probably have to give up like a roster player, like one of these. But like that's not negligible.
They might have to throw in Kerfoot. But I don't think they would.
No, I don't think Vancouver wants a roster player. I think they just want prospects. And,
but I'm just saying the Leafs might have to do that.
For cap purposes, maybe, yeah. But anyways, moving on from JT Miller then. Pavelski, top one, as people are expecting him not to be traded. Over 60% of people don't think he'll get traded.
From Dallas,
but
right?
The people that do, yeah, from Dallas. But the people that do think he'll get traded is Minnesota and Avalanche. And I'm not really sure on that because, like, do we really think Dallas is just going to trade in division to the Wild or Avs? I don't know, maybe, but
he's only got one more. Like, is it the last year of his contract? Or
yeah, it's the last year of his contract.
He's making $8 million.
Pavelski, yeah, I think. So.
Jesus Christ, man.
He's worth it, worth every penny.
I think Wild would be a good one. So good. I'm sure he would love to go to the Wild. It's close to his hometown. Like, I don't know.
Again, he has a modified no trade clause, so he can basically submit a 3-team trade list. So maybe Minnesota, Avalanche, and someone else are the only teams on it. I don't know. I haven't seen any reporting about that, but I just have a hard time believing Dallas wants to trade him in division.
How about this? Leafs trade Tavares for Pavelski and a bit more.
I'm
just kidding.
If you can only trade in division, like that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, that's true. And then Brock Besser. A lot of people seem to think he might be going to the Devils. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Maybe put him beside Jack Hughes or something like that, but
why would they do that this year? There's no gain for them this year to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is gain for them doing that because he's 23 or 24 years old.
But I mean, that's more of like an offseason trade.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Devils aren't making the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. Like they're last in their division behind the Flyers.
That would be a huge blockbuster trade at the trade deadline for two teams that aren't going to make the playoffs.
Anyways, the only other interesting ones were Kessel. It seemed like a lot of people think he might go to the Penguins or Boston again. I don't know that'd if that's amazing. Just nostalgia speaking, but that'd be amazing. I love it.
That would be amazing.
Max Domi seems like most people think he might be going to the Leafs. I think he'd fit perfectly in. I know Ty vehemently disagreed with me on that.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He didn't like that
idea. He just wants JT Miller or
Brandon Hagel, who's the other guy.
I was with him last night when he literally shouted, JT Miller to the Leafs, JT Miller to the Leafs. And then he posted in the group chat, JT Miller to the Leafs, and none of it was true. And he's like, my Twitter guy was so wrong. Excited. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Anyways, those are all the big ones. I think we've gone on long enough. I don't really have any.
I want to just mention, did Nick Paul make that list?
No, Nick Paul didn't. Okay. He wasn't even on this list.
Okay. We'll talk to him about him closer.
I don't think he's big
to.
Enough or important enough to be on that. Although he did have a decent year this year, didn't he?
He had a decent year.
Or am I
year?
Wrong?
He's
not important enough to be on. He's not important enough to be on this list, let's be real.
He's a good fourth line depth player.
Yeah, that's not important enough to talk about. We can that's add another fair. Like 30 guys to that list if that's the case. That's
true. I only mentioned him because I think Ottawa should trade him. Like it was talked
Ottawa
about,
should
like
trade a lot of guys.
He might not get traded, and it's like, well, you should probably fucking trade him.
I also think it's time for the potential. Speaking of which, I also think it's time for the Jets to start selling. They're behind the Stars in the standings right now. So if we don't think the Stars are making it, the Jets probably aren't either.
Yeah.
And the Jets don't have a lot to sell because they're not a very great team, to be honest. But
I saw somewhere
we'll talk about this closer to the deadline. But yeah,
I saw somewhere that it was Mark Scheifele. Like someone's reporting, it's Mark Scheifele's last year as a Jet, which is pretty huge.
Boy, I mean, he has 3 years left on his contract at $6 million. That's a really good deal. Easy to fit deal if he's done.
Yeah. And if the relationship's stale, yeah.
That'd definitely. Be really, 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 really interesting. I don't see Winnipeg winning a cup anytime soon. Again,
exactly.
To be fair, they were missing Ehlers for the entire, or not the entire year, for a good portion of the year, which is a huge hit. But yeah, might be time for them to tear down and rebuild, but I don't think they will. They have like all their entire top five defensemen locked in for the next 3 years, so I don't see them.
Hellebuck's contract,
and Hellebuck's another 2 years after this one too. So I feel like they're all in until that deal, all those deals expire, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is also when Scheifele expires too. But unless he really just wants out, but they should get a haul.
How can you be all in when you're so bad? Like you're so low.
Because their top five defensemen are all locked in until 2024.
Yeah, but that's like the San Jose
Sharks
then too.
Wheeler, Kyle Connor.
You suck.
They're all in. And then they have a bunch of RFAs they need to sign, basically. Like they're locked in for the next couple years. Like they have to keep going for it, or at least like trying to be competitive. After that, they can go back. But they've been bad. I think also part of that is the fact that they've had a bad coach for a while. Now that they have Dave Lowry, I don't think they've done any better, but they did.
Yeah, I don't think this guy's being a step up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, he hasn't had a lot of time. So it's not exactly fair to compare. All right. Anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Unless anyone has anything else they want to say, we'll do a more detailed trade deadline episode another time.
Yeah, like probably the week before the trade deadline. So still a ways away from that. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.